Cronk and the Bro podcast.
Cronk and the Bro.
All right. Welcome, everyone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. So, last episode did not end well for me. Someone over here is on a little winning streak recently. It's two in a row.
Well, I've been winning a lot of challenges recently, but this one was pretty epic because you had to watch a very torturous movie.
Yes.
Because you lost.
Yes. So the beginning of this episode, if you guys missed the last episode, I lost the trivia and I had to watch Pretty Woman.
Ooh.
All right. So.
Can't wait. Oh, it's so colorful.
So yeah, this is my, I guess we're calling, I love that we call them book reports as usual, even though it's a movie report,
mm-hmm.
but it's an oral report, oral/book report style format.
Right. I did love watching you watch this movie. It was pretty great.
Oh, man. Yep. That's pretty twisted of you, but.
What can I say? It's all part of the game.
Now, I will say, I'll start off by saying that this wasn't as bad as Bridget Jones' Diary.
See, I told you.
Okay, I was nervous. Bridget Jones' Diary was brutal. That was the worst. I think that's been the worst one so far out of between the two.
Debatable.
All right. Well,
between the two, yes, I would agree for sure that Bridget Jones was worse than Pretty Woman.
Which is terrible because these are all actors and actresses that I actually like, and I have these movies. They just, I don't know. Not for me. Just not for me.
Nope.
If you enjoy them, I'm happy. Yeah. I'm happy other people enjoy them, I guess. I'm happy for that. So, all right. So, here is my oral book report on Pretty Woman. Hello, class. Crunk has once again made me watch another stupid chick flick. According to the streaming platform description, This movie did not need any synopsis related to the story. The platform decided on, I quote, a classic rags-to-riches love story. This movie was the 1990 film Pretty Woman. This movie is supposed to be a classic comedy, but took over 15 minutes for the first joke. Richard Gere, a.k.a. Edward, lets a hooker, a.k.a. Julia Roberts, drive George Costanza's car. Ed finds out it would cost $100 for the night with Vivian. He says, pretty stiff. To which Vivian replies, no, but it's got potential. After reaching over to touch his weenie. Ed decides to use the hooker to help close a lucrative business deal by trusting a prostitute with a credit card to buy clothes and jewelry. George Costanza finds out that his business partner is using a hooker to seal the deal and attempts to ruin their relationship simply by telling Julia Roberts that she is a hooker. That is where the plot begins. How can a traveling businessman from New York survive a week in a penthouse suite in a Beverly Hills hotel? Will the $100 a night hoe keep her shit together and be able to blend in with all the other gold diggers of Los Angeles?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Of course she does. Because the movie description says it. A classic rags to riches love story. Okay? The movie ends when Ed closes the deal he traveled to town for. The ultimate plot twist. Here it is, everyone. The ultimate plot twist movie ending in cinema history happens. Vivian decides that she actually wants to get out of LA and get a real job. Before she can, Richard Gere rolls up and rescues her in a white limo, saving her from having to get a job. The end. Patrick Young, a.k.a. The Bro.
That's great.
That's the movie.
Yes.
There's no lie. This book report, an oral report, does not lie at all. Everything I just said was factual.
I know. Well, you know, I think certain movies, they don't age well necessarily. Like, obviously, you could never get some like high end hooker for $100 a night now. I mean, I have no idea what hookers go for. But then when she had to stay the night, it was $300. But all that being said,
well, good for her. She increased her price.
I know, so she could pay her rent since her roommate spent it on
prostitute
drugs.
Prostitute muscle. Oh, yeah, roommate. Oh, I forgot about her roommate.
The roommate spent it on drugs. I mean, look, you know, I didn't write the movie. It's not like on my list of favorite movies of all time, but it is a rom-com classic. But more, you pointed this out, more rom than com.
Yeah.
It's lighthearted, but it's not specifically comedic in a lot of parts.
I actually felt bad for Julia Roberts because she was into her character more than anyone. She had like the most interesting character to play, but she kept sitting on stuff. She kept like sitting on the table. She kept like sitting on like a counter that she wasn't supposed to sit on. Like, you know, she was like
out of place.
She was using the space and she was getting comfortable where she wasn't supposed to. She was supposed to be like tight and stiff, like Beverly Hills, like, you know, uptight, whatever. So I'll give her props for this, but I don't know. So I have these other notes here that, like I said, it's more of a drama. It was definitely more of a drama than a comedy. And there are so many opportunities where it could have been funnier, because it would have been funny if Richard Gere had to deal with like a pimp of hers, you know? Like, arguing about, like, maybe the pimp finds out that she's getting all this money for these days and she's not on her corner, quote unquote.
But like, she's sort of new to it. Like, Julia Roberts' character is sort of new to hookering.
She's a free agent prostitute. She's a free agent hooker.
She is a free agent. So her roommate sort of got her into it, and her roommate has a pimp. Remember, she's talking about like Carlo or whatever his name is.
Carlo. And, oh, of course.
Of course, Carlo.
How could I forget Carlo? What's wrong with me?
Who spends the rent money on drugs, right? Mm. Yeah. So, you know, I think it sounds like she's like new to it.
She's running her own racket. She's got her own place in Hollywood Boulevard being a hooker. I mean, that's her hustle. So, but yeah, and then hilarious stuff. Hilarious goof-ups. Actually, I want to mention this, too. Whenever I hear the song Pretty Woman, I wanted to bring this up just a shout-out to everyone else who probably would agree with this. Whenever I hear the song Pretty Woman, what movie do you think I'm thinking of?
This movie?
Nope. The movie that used this song the best for a funny montage.
Mm. Was it something? There's Something About Mary?
Oh, yeah, that's actually a pretty good guess. You're close, but...
Close? Old School?
Nope. You're getting further away.
Half-Baked?
Nope. That's right.
Freddie Got Fingered?
No. I respect all of these guesses, by the way, but no.
Oh, man.
Should I tell you? I don't want to leave you hanging. Yeah. All right. Dumb and Dumber.
Oh.
When they're getting spruced up for the ball or whatever, and they get the, you know, they shave like their nails and stuff.
I know.
That is the perfect use of the song Pretty Woman. And whenever I hear that song, I think of the movie Dumb and Dumber when they're getting ready.
No, I mean, certain movies can steal songs that way. Mm-hmm. Actually, in There's Something About Mary, they do a dressing room montage. And I'm not thinking of the song right now. But anytime I hear it, I do think about that movie and that part.
Mm. So
it is a very powerful cinematic tool. But, you know, listen, I did it to you. I made you watch this movie because I knew it would just be like a little bit torturous for you.
Yeah, it was torturous.
And like I said, I enjoy this movie, but hadn't watched it in a long time. And I think there are parts of this movie that don't aged that well. I mean, my God, it's like 30 years old now.
1990, yeah. Geez.
Crazy,
yeah.
1990.
Yeah, that movie's 30 years old. That's crazy.
A lot has changed. But I mean, it is an interesting kind of time capsule to what movies used to be in that time. You know, like how movies used to be made. Now things are just made so different. But, you know, I really enjoyed watching you watch this. I mean, that was the gift.
That's messed up. That's messed up.
To me, was just... Oh, it was great. This wasn't even that long. Yeah, you're fine.
It's fine. Bridget Jones' Diary was worse. But what's hilarious about all this is that, like, the they love it that it's a classic rags to riches tale. The funny part is
the log line is ridiculous. I agree with you on that. The log line's ridiculous.
In the end, she actually wants to get her shit together. She's like, you know what? I'm done being a prostitute.
I know.
She was gonna go to San Francisco and she was gonna go back to school and get a real job. But Richard Gere rescues her, like, the, you know, instead of the white horse, the knight on the white horse, the knight in the white limo, which they changed. It wasn't a white limo throughout the whole movie. They changed it just for that part, obviously. You gotta have a white limo instead of a white horse.
Right.
And Richard Gere rescues her from actually making something out of herself and having a real life and having real skills and education. And she gets to be...
It's a little sexist, right? Like, she's trying to... like you said, she's trying to better herself. And she's like, I don't need the man. I'm going to take that man's money and I'm going to go back to high school. Yeah. No, I know, but...
It's hilarious.
It was her dream and she didn't want to part from her dream. So he was making her, quote unquote, dream come true in that circumstance.
She was in a crappy apartment and sharing it with, I don't even know the other hooker's name, her hooker friend. Is that her cousin or her sister? I don't know what she was supposed to be.
Friend. I think a friend.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Her other hooker friend.
So, yeah, I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff. I'm just like, what, my notes, I don't know. It's just like, what's going on here? But.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I consider it a time capsule.
It was of
the time and how movies were made in the time, and enjoyable for me. Really great.
That's twisted stuff.
Oh, come on. You do the same thing. You're probably future punishments for me. You're going to pick very specifically.
Yeah, but I'm going to pick cool movies I'm going to pick cool movies at least. I don't know.
This was a classic. You can't argue that it's not a classic.
It's not a classic. I will argue it's not a classic.
It is.
It was like, it wasn't like.
It's so a classic.
It was like bland. It wasn't really that. It wasn't like, I don't know. It wasn't like a gripping. The plot didn't even start until he told George Costanza that she was a hooker. That's like really when the plot even started. He's like, oh, you know, just stay the week with me and you know, I'm going to close this deal. I'm going to make you look nice. That was the story until George Costanza found out.
I didn't write it. I was like 2 years old when it came out. So I definitely did not write it.
Oh, crock. That's true. This is true. So I don't know. So that's it, everyone.
Well done. You made it. You did not fall asleep.
I don't know how I didn't, because there's nothing happened. I don't know how I didn't fall asleep. Nothing happened at all until...
It's shocking. I'm so proud of you that you didn't fall asleep. You did it.
I mean, at least I like Julia Roberts, and I've seen other stuff of Richard Gere, but I mean, I like the actors and actresses. I just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. No. Certainly.
This movie was just... Good choice of punishment. I'll just say it that way. Yes. I'll give you a compliment. Very good punishment.
Well, and that's ultimately the win here. Yeah. So. That it was an effective punishment.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good old 90s, man. Good old 90s. So, yeah, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That is my oral report on the movie Pretty Woman.
So interesting. Now, watching all those movies that, like, weren't in time period, they were in present day, but now you go back and you're like, wow. Kind of, I mean, even just like the fashion that the girls were wearing, right? Like the really kind of long shorts, like high waisted.
You know what's
big shoulder pads are still getting phased out.
You know what's funny too, though, is that all the major like luxury, like retail fashion brands, they showed like quick shots of it in the movie, but all those are still around.
That's cool.
So that's kind of like they had like, I think Chanel was one of the major
right. Neiman Marcus was to. In there.
Yeah, and Louis Vuitton was still there. So it's like it's kind of funny. You look at that. If anyone that watched the movie, I don't recommend anyone watches the movie. But if you happen to watch the movie and you notice that all those luxury brands are still around.
Yeah.
That they show in that movie, so they survived.
They survived.
They kept up with the fashion. They kept up with the trends. They kept up with all the fads.
Oh, man.
You know?
There were so many trends and fads from the 90s.
A ton.
Like, really kind of like out there. Like we went from the 80s right into the 90s, where it was just sort of these like explosive kind of trends.
The 90s was the 90s is probably my favorite decade.
Oh, me too. But I do wonder too if we feel that way because it was like our childhood and it was nostalgic.
It was, but that's definitely part of it. But mm-hmm. I just think like culturally, like so much stuff exploded. Like electronics, video games, sports, yeah. music,
a decade movies. Of transition for sure.
Everything just like took off, and every like sports league took off. Like the NHL blew up. Obviously, Michael Jordan, like he, you know, mm-hmm. he's just iconic. He's probably the most iconic athlete of all time.
Oh yeah.
And then like Wayne Gretzky was like he crushed in the '80s too, but Wayne Gretzky was still like a you know flag carrier for hockey. Like the '90s just like exploded with stuff, and then like. Obviously, technology, too. That really advanced, too. But, yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, and I think the fashion is a huge piece of that. I mean, they all work together, right? Like, the athletes, for instance, drove some of the fashion choices. And then people on TV also drove some of the trends, you know. And if people were wearing certain things on, like, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, for instance, or something, you know, like then I think yeah. it would even push the trend further into popularity.
Oh, yeah. If you see like like basketball sneakers. I mean, the 90s was like the greatest era of sneakers. It just took off. Oh, my God. Everyone had sneakers. Yeah. Everyone had Jordans. I mean, everyone bought Jordan or some type of cool mm-hmm. basketball sneaker. You know, Converses were big like before the 90s, but... And, you know, and like Adidas had some there, but like, you know, sneakers just took off.
Right. Wasn't it that Nike wasn't originally going to offer that contract to Michael Jordan?
Yeah, I forget something what happened. Like yeah, it's that? In the Last Dance. I forget what company offered. Oh,
He wanted Adidas. Oh, I can't remember if it was the other way around.
Yeah, I think
Nike wasn't that thrilled about him, or he wasn't that thrilled about Nike. I forget.
I forget who talked him out of it. Someone talked him out of it, or I'm gonna forget.
No, I think Nike wasn't that established yet.
Oh no, they weren't. They were
Michael in the running Jordan shoes. Didn't want to get involved with Nike. He was. Preferable to Adidas.
Nike started off as like they started in Oregon as like a running shoe company. Mm-hmm. So they made like running shoes. They weren't really big into basketball yet.
Okay.
So I think that was part of it. I can't. It's going to drive me nuts. The internet will kill us later for this. But
I know.
It was in The Last Dance. That was a great documentary too.
That was great.
About the 90s. But yeah, that was just cool. Like that was a cool time capsule too.
Oh.
I miss the 90s.
I know, baby.
And the late 80s was cool, too. I mean, I wasn't alive that long in the 80s, but I don't know. 90s is pretty sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that, you know, there are certain fads that I sort of wish were kind of still here in a way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay if they make a comeback or if they just circle back around. You know, like, I loved... how the 80s and the 90s did this. They embraced kind of like big natural hair, you know. Yeah. Do you ever notice that?
As you mention it now, yeah, it makes sense.
Like 80s was very much like wild teased hair. And natural and like waves were in, and of course like I'm a curly haired girl, so
yeah,
you know, now I feel like the style is much more like smooth, blown out curls, like pretend waves,
right.
Like manicured, very smooth, glossy.
Yeah, girls don't have big hair anymore. They don't really do it, well, right? It's not really a thing.
If it is big hair, it's still like straight and big. It's not like yeah. this sort of... I
just
mean,
like bulky
frizz
around. Yeah.
was in. Like, because you use yeah. it to sort of tease your hair out and like tons of hairspray, right? Like, you know,
that's
I mean,
so
if you look
funny.
At pictures of, I'm sure, like our moms when they had us,
yeah.
like it's like perfect
yeah,
for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, there's a picture. There's a picture of my friend's mom. Her hair is like super puffed out and curly, and it's like, wow, it's you're
with
right.
The shoulder pads.
I completely the shoulder pads. It's so funny.
The shoulder pads are funny. I mean, like,
that's great.
Who invented that? Like, oh, let's find a way for women to look like more boxy on their shoulders, like football players. Oh, I know. Let's stuff something in their shirt.
That's a weird thing too. I mean, I guess
so
yeah,
weird.
I'm trying to think how that. There must someone must have had a logical reason for the shoulder pads, but I don't know. But yeah, that's funny.
Must have been some sort of structure of the clothing. Well, I think based on like the dresses of the time, I think it was to define the waist. So like, you know, women would have sort of like a wider shoulder area, but then all the clothes would come in.
Oh, sneaky. Makes their waist look smaller.
Yes, I think.
Oh, because that's interesting.
My mom, guilty, like she saved a lot of her clothes. And so for like Halloween, I would dig through her clothes and I'd be like, what is this? And a lot of them would have like the big shoulder pads, but then they'd have like a small, tight waist. So I do think it was to accentuate the waist.
The Coke bottle figure, huh?
Interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
That's my theory.
There's sneaky stuff. Women have sneaky fashion stuff. Like
what else?
Like the heels are loud, so like men turn around and like look at them.
What? Really?
I heard that. Like
really?
Yeah. Like some companies make the heels loud, so that like if they're walking on like a surface, mm-hmm. it makes more noise, and then people turn and look at the noise. And who's in like the heavy heels?
Interesting. You know? So that's like I've a power that. Move then.
I guess it's a power move. I mean, you know,
right?
Some sneaky there's stuff like
but
that.
There are men's dress shoes that I'm sort of click clack too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think like probably expensive dress shoes probably could, but I mean heels are different. Heels are a whole nother racket. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But. I know. We could go down like the skirts versus pants, you know, rabbit hole again. Yeah, it really is a battle for another day. Well, I want to hear like what were your favorite fads?
I'm still kind of pissed about this because I think it's still really cool and everyone's going to kill me. Everyone's going to make fun of me.
Why?
But I miss rollerblades.
Okay. That's fun.
They actually, and I'm into sports obviously, so like I remember this, but rollerblades came out. Everyone was like, rollerblades are cool. You know, there's a movie, yeah. Remember the movie Airborne?
Yes.
About the kids who rollerblade and like, you know, they're like, you know, that was kind of like a drama, extreme movie comedy, you know? But rollerblades, I think are still cool because it's like it's like the closest you're going to get to ice skating if you don't have like
without
ice skates.
Without the ice, yeah.
Without the ice. And like, it's good exercise. And like, I think it's still cool. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, everyone's like, oh, rollerblades are lame. Rollerblades are lame. With no explanation. People are just like, oh, rollerblades, that's so 90s. But hey, you know what? I'm good with that.
I know.
I stand by rollerblades.
I was clumsy. I was clumsy on my rollerblades. So my parents made me wear like all those pads, like wrist guards, elbow guards, knee guards,
which
helmet. Which is good, but then...
You look weird. Yeah.
Walking around kind of like a mummy on rollerblades. It's like so much padding.
Yeah. You got to basically dress like a hockey player and then you'll look cool because you'll look like an actual hockey player.
Right.
Without looking like a clunky kid with just like your arms up like this and you're just like...
Yeah. I was more balanced on ice skates, but rollerblades, I think because of the... You never know what kind of concrete you're going to roll over. So it was always
it's all inconsistent. That's
different.
The problem with rollerblades, I guess.
Yeah. I mean... Do you ever think that maybe rollerblading went out of style because people got hurt? Like, is that...
I don't think so.
No?
No. I think skateboarding got popular. I think skateboarding got popular, after.
Right.
Like, and then people started skateboarding, and then everyone started skateboarding. Like, oh, dude, you rollerblade? Like, oh, I got a skateboard. Like, you're a loser. That's kind of what happened.
Skateboarding, and then do you think, like, snowboarding took off, too?
Yeah, snowboarding. Yeah,
I mean, I know
snowboarding,
totally different arena of sports.
No, you're right. Snowboarding definitely took off the same time as skateboarding did because I remember in middle school that was when snowboarding really took off big time because I didn't really know anyone who snowboarded before, like, you know,
no,
like none of my older cousins or like any of my parents or my aunts and uncles ever snowboarded.
Right. It was just
skiing. Like 90s. Like
it was
90s
just
was
they,
late
if they
90s.
Skied, they skied, but nobody really snowboarded.
Yeah, I feel like
that I knew.
Snowboarding
my
definitely
family.
Launched in the late 90s. So that's probably part of it too. Mm-hmm. But I think rollerblading still cool. Like it's just good, you know, like I think street hockey's cool. I played a little bit back in the
awesome,
day.
Street hockey's awesome. But do you also think like rollerblading is not an Olympic sport, right?
No.
So maybe that's also why it died out in popularity?
Yeah, it sucks because it's actually kind of cool. I think, I forget
roller
if it's...
skating. Same thing.
Roller ski.
That
yeah,
died
the roller
out.
Yeah, they still. But they
the
still.
Roller
have,
rinks.
They still have some roller ski. I mean, not this, not right now, but they've had roller rinks lasted a while, and they still have them for like birthday parties and stuff. But like adults, adults stopped using rollerblades. That's really what happened. But they had this like crazy wacky like hockey league. It was like professional. Like it was on the beach. I forget. It's in California. I forget what it's called. But they had this like hockey. They had this like hockey, you know, rink.
Okay.
That was like rollerblading, and they had this like instead of the backboard, it like ramped up so the you could like skate up the wall and skate back down. It was like a weird style of street hockey.
That's cool.
But it was cool. But then like it didn't. There was a bunch of problems with it and all that stuff, which is actually I think it's a documentary. So I forget who carries it, but they had this summer street hockey thing because the NHL blew up. And like it blew up in California and like Arizona, they got like expansion teams, whatever. But I don't know. I just miss rollerblading. I think it was pretty cool.
Well, I've seen you rollerblade though, so like you're not letting it die. You're gonna bring it back.
Yeah, I just gotta. I just what I want to do. I do want to play street hockey, so that's why I'm keeping the blades. So that way I can just like you know, just play street hockey in a rink somewhere. So
you're like that.
But
one
now I'm playing
guy
lacrosse. I'm too
in the
distracted.
Park in 2021. Yeah. Like
the headphones and the rollerblades.
Right.
You know?
But there's a few of you.
Yeah,
there's
a
few rollerblading
Manhattan.
Guys
there's
and
yeah,
girls.
I've seen a bunch of rollerbladers in Manhattan. There's not that many.
There's not.
There's
a
more
bunch.
Scooters.
There's like a handful.
No, not a bunch. There's a handful. Yeah. You're right. But there's more people on scooters now. They're all motorized now. No one wants to put the work in anymore.
I know.
The cyclists are the last diehards.
Yeah, I mean maybe that's part of it too. People have gotten a little lazy, and rollerblading is a good workout, like you're saying. Like,
yeah,
it's tough.
Everything. It's
work.
Your core.
I mean, you get to where you're going, and then you have to get back and uphill and.
It does. Rollerblading does suck if you have to do hills. It does suck for that. So you want to just be
so,
you want to be
going
a rink.
Downhill is kind of scary too because there's
you go
not
very fast.
Really, like
I
could never find like the right way to break. It was sort of scary.
Yeah, there's different ways you can break, but yeah. So I don't know. We talked about rollerblading a lot.
I know.
Which I'm cool with, but yeah. So and obviously this is a sad one for me, and I think a lot of people.
Okay.
But it's sad, but you know, Blockbuster, RIP.
Oh, that is sad.
So,
that was great.
I know. That was the 90s.
Like,
that was
it was
cool.
Part
DVD
of the experience, right? Like, going to Blockbuster on a Friday or Saturday night with your friends. You pick a snack, you pick a movie and, like, you browse.
And then you pick video games, too.
Yeah.
You could rent a video game at the same time with
the
movie.
Video games for my N64.
Yeah.
Oh,
PlayStation
that was great.
Came out,
that way
you
could, like,
piece
try the game
candy.
Out before you buy it.
Yeah,
loved that.
And you, but you, but like, if you, if you plug through, you could beat a video game before you had to return it.
Right.
if you just like stayed up and like stayed up for like three nights in a row, whatever, and you could get through a video game and then return it. It's smart to just rent video games if you think about it. But but Netflix could have bought Blockbuster. I forget how much it was, but it was
cheap.
7 or 8 million.
Right.
Netflix could have. Oh, sorry. Oh, excuse me. I messed it up. Blockbuster could have bought Netflix for $7 or $8 million.
Oh my god.
And they were like, no, it's not worth it. And now look what happened. That's like one of the biggest business failures of all time.
Yikes.
That's one of them.
Worst
if Blockbuster
like
bought Netflix. Imagine that if they bought Netflix for $7-8 million, the executives decided, no, we don't want to spend the money on it.
Maybe they could have done both. They could have kept both alive. Like if the streaming took off, they could have kept the a handful of brick and mortars.
But Blockbuster, it was a failure because that was their
such
competition. Direct mail at the time,
right,
DVDs in the mail.
Movies
before
to your
streaming.
Home.
They would just send you DVDs and stuff right to you. I mean, you know, they should have bought them.
Oh my god.
They wouldn't even have to do anything. They could have just like let the thing operate and just own it and then.
Right. Just the parent
they
company.
They would have
completely
other
business,
owned
yeah.
video streaming and all that stuff. I mean, you know, but.
Yeah. No, there was nothing better than
times.
That. Like, truly, like. And also, I think there's something to be said for having less options. Like, we've been there where we're scrolling through and we're like, nothing really looks good.
And you
this
go to another platform
like,
and you look
through
that.
Too many
and
selections
yes.
psychologically is actually not good.
Yeah.
That's why certain restaurants, too, will just put like a finite amount of options on their menu. Those like really big menu.
Well, that's cost. That's like a cost thing too.
That is, yeah. But there's like there's psychology behind it too.
Oh yeah, of course, because it helps you make a decision if with less options.
You're fine.
But also with Blockbuster too, it's like you had to make a choice because you knew you had to leave there. You couldn't, you know, like you were in a store, so like you knew you had to make a choice, which is smart. Mm-hmm. You have to go in there and you could see the DVD cover. You could read that. You had to pick it up and read the back of it and like see who was in it. You see synopsis. The movie. You see the movie posters out, the life size movie posters of like, you know, if it was like the Batman movie or something like that.
I know.
So that was pretty cool.
I was notorious for the late fees. Shocker.
No way.
No way.
You were late returning your videos. How dare you?
I know. Yeah. I would always forget. And then I'd pay the late fee.
Yeah.
And then I'd like watch it again because like, well, now I paid the late fee, so might as well watch it twice.
At that point, you might as well just buy the movie.
I know.
That's great. Yeah. Well, so those are the good stuff. But yeah, but there's definitely some stuff that glad that's no longer around.
Yeah, they had some sort of like out there kind of things.
Yeah. There's always things that you're like, wow, this is popular, like this isn't gonna last.
Like how did this catch on?
Yeah.
Like now in hindsight, being
you
like,
would I never, you know, as a kid, as a teenage kid, what I never wanted to do was the frosted tips.
That's great.
And I'm not making fun of anyone who did that because I think back in that era it was acceptable, but for men the frosted tips, because like the gelled hair came on strong. Oh.
Big time. Even the gelled hair for women, like I remember doing like slick back kind of things as like the big hair.
See, that's so funny. I never even noticed that women gelled their hair. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, what's funny is sort of similar to how I'm wearing it now. But like, I think J-Lo kind of made, I mean, she was more 2000. So maybe I'm mixing up my decades. But anyway, J-Lo does the like slicked back in the front. And then, like, kind of big wavy hair. So maybe that was more like an early 2000s trend.
But even like gelling the hair, but like, I saw the frosted tips and it just like looked weird. Like, half of your hair was your natural color. And then, like, the top half was like
white.
Was like white or like yellow or like gold.
Right.
Thank God, I have zero pictures of me and I never did it. I've gelled my hair, mm-hmm. but I never did the frosted tips.
Frosted tips.
So glad I never did.
Yeah, you really have to have straight hair for that. Like, your hair is super curly.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think it, like, it really has to stand straight up. But you have the musicians to thank for that trend. Because the guy from NSYNC, I think it was Lance Bass,
He did the frosted tips.
He did the frosted tips. I feel like one of the Backstreet Boys did the frosted tips as well.
I think it may...
Kevin, I think. Maybe it was Kevin. Pat, come on.
Yeah, like I know.
Which Backstreet Boy was your favorite, Pat?
I know what they look like. I don't know their names, but yeah. But the frosted tips, that's done.
Yeah.
I'm glad men don't gel their hair and do the scattered frosted tips anymore.
Yeah, the gel was like so intense.
Yeah, they just like stick it straight up and then like point it and it's like, yeah, like little points, and you're just trying to look badass. Like, no, you don't look badass.
No.
You look kind of stupid. But I think it looks kind of stupid.
You know what else was a trend that I'm really glad it's, like, gone? The thong leotards for those Jazzercise videos. Do you remember that?
the pants would be, like, green.
Like, neon green or neon purple. Like, very glossy, satiny, like, tights. And then the friggin' thong. Oh, my God. To, like, what? Accentuate the cheeks? Like, I understand a thong has its purpose, like, as underwear, right? Like, no panty lines. But, like, what is the purpose? Can someone from the 90s and 80s, because 80s started it, but it carried over.
Yeah, 80s and 90s. The 80s and 90s, they were big on, like, bold colors.
Yes. Well, like it was all, like, tie-dyed shirts, like, those big, lots of different
neon
fashion.
Neon colors, mm-hmm. like, wild and crazy kids colors on Nickelodeon.
Yes.
I mean, 80s and 90s, you can kind of loop them together because they both went crazy with colors.
Yeah, well, I think a lot, nuts. Especially because like early 90s specifically, a lot of that carryover from the 80s because certainly Jazzercise and all like Richard Simmons and Jane Fonda.
Whoa, you just triggered.
What?
all the freaking gym fads from back in the day. Everyone had the videotapes. Mm-hmm. Everyone had the videotapes of the exercise, like Tai Bo. Was that Tai Bo with Billy Blanks?
Well, I can picture the Richard Simmons and the Jane Fonda ones.
Yeah.
You know, where...
Richard Simmons,
where
yeah.
it was more like, you know, aerobics.
Right.
Right? Like on VHS.
Yeah.
Like women doing aerobics so in their fun. Living rooms.
Yeah. That's great. The fitness stuff, the fitness videos of the 90s and 80s.
Oh my God.
It's so great.
But then the fashion in those fitness videos is like pretty... out there, and then the headbands and the big hair.
Actually, you're right. Yeah, it goes back to now remembering the hair. Back to the big hair. You're right.
And the headbands.
That's so funny.
Oh my God. But yeah, I don't know what the purpose of that thong was. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, probably 20 years from now, we're gonna look at how we're dressed now and be like, why did we do that?
Oh, I know. Yeah, but I am glad that like the side ponytails fell out of style.
With the big scrunchies. Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't... I did that. I rocked that. But you look back at pictures...
You wouldn't rock it now unless you're going to an 80s party or a 90s party.
That's exactly what you would do. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. It looks cool, I guess, if you're doing an 80s, 90s party. But yeah, I've never seen anyone wear that now, so I think it's done.
Yeah, or done. The sweaters from the 90s, they had a line across the sleeve... A line across here and then another line across the sleeve. If you look at Friends, episodes of Friends, you can see a lot of the 90s fashion from that show.
Oh,
too.
Actually, yeah, that's actually the perfect
time
capsule.
That's like the perfect 90s time capsule is because the majority of the earlier seasons.
Oh, definitely the gelled hair for the guys, too.
Yeah, Joey. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
So funny. Friends, yeah. Man. But Frosted Tips, you can stay dead. Please stay dead.
But was there anything that like you did participate in that now you look back at pictures and you're like, oh my God, why?
You know what? You know what's really funny? Like LL Cool J, he wore like the Kangol hats, like the Kangol like golf hats. I gotta find
That's
a picture.
Amazing.
I gotta find
you
a
need
picture.
To dig up the picture
of
this.
I don't know if there's a picture of it though, because
oh come on, find it.
I don't know. I don't know if I got a picture of it, but I got like a Nike Kangol hat. It's like a blue Nike Kangol hat.
Well, no, I think Kangol was their own brand.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm sorry.
But
it's a
yes.
golfer. It's like golfing style hats, which is like if you wear it the front way and you actually golf, you still look. It's
you
still
wanna
not.
Know a secret?
Even that's not trendy for golf either. But what? What's the secret?
I had a Kangol hat too.
Oh, you did?
I just laughed at you, but I had to like laugh first. But I did have a Kangol hat.
Did you wear it out in public?
I did.
You went up another level for me.
And then I also wore it with like the terry cloth like matching set with the, you know what I'm talking about? Like the velour set.
You had
set.
A match. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, come
I have
on.
No idea. I
from
have
like
see
the
it.
Rap videos and stuff. You must know what I'm talking about. So like it
well,
was like
yeah,
a,
that's
it's like a velour like you know, almost like
overalls?
No, not overalls, like stretchy pants. Like comfortable pants, but then like it was like half casual, half dressy, and then like it had like a zippered thing and a hood and
yeah.
I'll
okay.
show you a picture.
I gotta see pictures.
It goes together with the Kangol hat for yeah. sure.
So yeah, so I messed up. So I got a Nike. I got a Nike version of a Kangol hat. I remember it was blue.
Right.
And I wore it, but I don't know what happened. I lost it. I don't think I ever wore it out.
I think I
bought it in the store and I thought it looked cool. And I think I went back home and I put it on and I was like, I can't wear this. I don't remember wearing it out. I genuinely don't remember wearing it out. But I will confess to buying a Nike hat,
but
golf
that means
hat
that
in that style.
Probably not a picture of it then if you never wore it out.
There might be. I don't know.
Oh, man. Let's dig up
those
archives.
I want to see Ghetto Kronk and her business.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, that's transitioning more to the 2000s J-Lo phase where you had the hoop earrings.
You did the hoop earrings?
I also did. This was also in the 90s, though, but like the two pieces that came down on the front.
Oh, you did that?
Yeah.
You did that?
Like for my school pictures and stuff. So there's photographic evidence of this.
Oh, you went
sure.
harder on the 90s than I did.
I did. I have a picture that's quintessential 90s. I think it's like fourth grade or something. The two big pieces down in the front, and then I have the sweater that I was just talking
that's
about.
That's amazing. That's awesome. That's pretty cool, Kronk.
Yeah, but I rocked those two pieces for a long time. Like started them real thick, like, you know, Christina Aguilera style. and then like made them thinner and thinner and just like two little strands coming down.
It's classic.
It really is.
That's so good. And you bursted out laughing that I had the hat.
I know.
And you went way harder.
It's such a double standard. Oh, I know.
That is so great. That's so great.
Knowing you, I wouldn't picture that you would like take part of that trend.
No, I mean I was really into rap. Like I got into rap music. I don't know how I pulled this off. I was listening to like Tupac when I was like 6-7 years old.
How did your parents not realize that?
I think what happened was I was able to buy a bunch of CDs before they came out with the parental advisory stuff.
Oh.
And my parents were just like, oh, it's music. It's not like, it's music. So they weren't like, oh, it's, and yeah. they didn't know who the artists
That's
were.
That's true. Okay.
There were no warning labels. They didn't watch MTV or what I watched. Mm. So they were like, oh, he's just buying music. Okay, we bought music back in the day, like whatever.
Right, Sam Goody.
Yeah, and then I think when the mature audiences labels, parental advisory, I should say, when the parental advisory stuff came out, they might have started squashing it there, but I snuck in some Tupac CDs.
Wow, man. My parents were like the opposite. My parents wouldn't let me listen to the Ace of Base cassette.
Really?
I had to go to Kim's house because I knew she had the Ace of Base cassette. And they were very hands-on with the music early on.
Like, that is so funny. You had to sneak Ace of Base. And I got Tupac easily. That's so good.
You had Tupac at age 7 and I had to sneak Ace of Base. What?
That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
I have to ask them, like, what about Ace of Base was, like, risque to you?
Because they probably didn't like that the girls were, like, you know, kind of, like, dancing around and maybe, sexualized.
Maybe
I don't know.
It was a music video thing. Maybe.
Maybe if they saw the music video, it could be.
It's possible. If they saw the
Tupac music videos, my parents probably would have been like, no. Snoop Dogg and stuff.
Our parents were opposite with music. Oh my God.
Well, I think I got lucky when I bought my CDs, like I said, for the parental advisory. But yeah, and I think they were freaked out about Green Day.
You had older cousins too.
Yeah, right? I had older cousins was helpful because they had stuff and like back then
you could like. I did too, but yeah. I don't know. They never helped me buy cassettes or CDs.
Man, it's tough.
I know.
You had to sneak out just to listen to Ace of Pace. That's like the funniest thing I've ever heard.
It's true.
My God. And meanwhile, I'm upstairs like...
Cranking Tupac,
playing with like Batman action figures. That's literally like what my 90s... I had an awesome fucking 90s childhood.
Oh, yeah.
I was playing with Spider-Man and X-Men action figures.
Please.
Yeah.
I had all my Barbies and all my American Girl dolls and I had a blast. Yes, I was limited on my Ace of Base intake, but... I was also the only child, so maybe they were just more protective.
What we're gonna need to find ghetto crunk pictures and post them on the gram.
I think we're gonna need to find some 90s goodies to post on the gram. That's I think you're absolutely right about that.
I mean, you put a lot of thought into it, so you're gonna have to lead the way. There's probably a couple pictures of me with some weird stuff on, but. Crunk, it sounds like you went full tilt. You were New York 90s.
I can neither
you went New York 90s.
Confirm nor deny that. Yeah, I know. Maybe
that's
because...
good. That's a smart legal response
to
that.
Yeah. I think also because of the geography, like New Hampshire didn't go as hard into the trends. Right? I was really just like riding the trend.
You were ahead of everyone.
Trendsetter. How about that? Take that.
Oh my gosh, that's why you rebelled so hard. You had to sneak out for Ace of Base, and then when you had the chance, you went whole background rap girl video, you know, and just went decked out.
Lots of the beginning of the sneaking out to do things, you know?
It's great. Well, we're going to end it right there because that's hilarious.
You can't top that. You can't top
I got to see Yonkers 90s Kronk. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Thanks for joining us for our 90s throwback. That was really fun. We might have to dive in further in a future episode.
Have to do another revisit episode.
To unpack here. I think maybe what we need to do is pull up some pictures and then dive into more trends in those pictures.
Yeah. And not watch Pretty Woman. And not watch Pretty Woman.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
We'll have to hopefully some more watch 90s
TV
cool
shows, maybe. Like Blossom.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, well, figure this out.
Yep. Until next time.
That's it. All right. Take care, everyone.
Kronk and the Bro is produced in partnership by House of Kronk and Young Hall. This episode is edited and mixed by Sarah Kronk. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and follow us on social media at Kronk and the Bro. Thanks for listening.